Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to State of the Art with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.
It's true. It is.
You are.
August 14th, and I am.
You are. You are?
I am Michael Sterling. Who are you?
You're Michael Sterling, and I'm just a girl who can't say anything? Anything? Oh, come on.
I don't know.
You've got to love that one. It's a classic.
Oh, my goodness.
How are you, Michael?
I'm good, thank you.
Good, good, good.
Considering that two of us in this room are going to be having a birthday rather soon.
Really?
Yes.
Two of us?
Yes, one of our guests and myself.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You going to keep me on the edge of my seat, or are we just going to find out?
You want to know?
Yeah.
We're both born in September.
Okay.
Yeah. So that would be one Chad Kimball.
One Chad Kimball.
And myself.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he's a little older than I am.
Yes,
he's probably on the 7th or the 2nd.
Can I say something now?
No, not yet. Not yet. Michael, we'll get to you. We'll get to you. Go ahead, Michael. Well, let's thank our sponsors.
Yes, we should do that. We'd like to thank our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. And to learn more about Breakdown Services, visit BreakdownExpress.com.
We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to our live arts calendar.
Lovely people.
Yes,
they are. And as you know, Paul, we've got two of theater's most creative artists on the show with us today. The first is easily a legend in Los Angeles. His talent was not only duly recognized by the prestigious Los Angeles Stage Alliance with a Lifetime Achievement Award for excellence in directing, but he has been the catalyst behind raising millions of dollars for AIDS services and education via one of LA's most spectacular annual events, the Southland Theater Artists Goodwill Event, more simply known by the acronym STAGE, now in its 30th consecutive year. Say hello to the one and only David Galligan.
David Galligan.
Hello, sir.
Welcome,
hello,
sir.
Hello. How are you?
How are you?
Welcome, David.
I'm good.
Great to have you.
I hope you and I are going to have birthdays, too, Paul.
Yes. I just had my 50th this last month.
Yeah?
Yes. I turned 50 in July. Yes.
July what?
July 17th.
I'm July 1st.
Oh, okay.
All right.
And you're when you turn 50, we can celebrate, too.
Yeah. Yes, that's true.
You think I'm going to walk into that one. You're crazy.
we also have with us in studio a distinguished Tony Award nominee as Best Actor in a Musical for his electrifying performance in Broadway hit Memphis. A must-see performer wherever he appears, Angelinos will have that chance to see him this Saturday, August 16th, as a co-headliner in Broadway Under the Stars with Jennifer Holliday and others, directed by David Galligan at the beautiful John Anson Ford Amphitheater, nestled neatly in the Hollywood Hills. Welcome, Mr. Chad Kimball.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Okay, go ahead, Chad. Now you can talk.
Yes, you can.
No, I was just saying, thank you for the birthday wishes, and I appreciate the big presents. There are no presents.
Well, Michael is a rather big presence.
Where's that drum hit?
Oh, man. If I have to do that on everyone, we're in trouble. Well, lovely to have both of you gentlemen. We're grateful for it. Michael, how was your
week? Absolutely. Well, you know,
digging the glasses, by the way.
You are?
Yeah.
They're a prescription.
Yeah?
They're to keep the glare off of, from the computer screen, quite frankly, and I forgot to put my contacts in on the way here.
No, they're cool. They got
so
sort of like I like the hue. They have a nice saturation and hue.
Hue are you talking about?
Though? Yes, they're hue. They're like if Elvis had glasses now, they would be like that.
Probably.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Mm.
And that's a compliment, please. I know it sounds like a dig, but that's a compliment.
Okay, yeah. Well, you know, it was an interesting week, certainly with all of the dramatic changes in around the world with, two great stars, Robin Williams and Lauren Bacall. And interesting to see people's reactions to all of those things.
Yes.
Wow. Lauren Bacall kind of surprised me, though. I mean, that was just boom.
She's 89.
I know, you think of those people as living forever.
Okay.
Right?
Kind of timeless, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the only woman, certainly, so classy, the only woman that could get away with saying, you just pucker your lips and blow. And,
yeah.
Get away with that.
It's a classic.
Right?
Yeah.
So. Yeah. But, yeah, a busy week.
What was that? Remind me of the movie. That was The Big Sleep?
Have and have not.
Okay.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
David, you win the oven mitt. Yes, we have a door prize.
Thank you.
The sure honor.
Owners.
We have a state-of-the-art oven mitt. And I don't want to get too...
It's my birthday coming. Right? What do I get?
And you'll cry if you want to?
Yes, absolutely.
What will we get you? We'll have to find something.
I'll take an oven mitt.
Oh, I have something in mind.
The state-of-the-art oven mitt. But before we get to the show, and everyone has been talking about it, and obviously unbelievable news about Robin Williams, but Ken Werther, who's joined us here, just said that he picked up on the internet that apparently he was in the beginning stages of Parkinson's,
which is
already coping with as many things as he's coping with. They're just very, very sad and unfortunate.
A
great loss.
Yes,
exactly.
Indeed.
By the way, I wanted to tell you that Mr. Jim O'Hare says hello.
He did?
Saw Jim this weekend and did a little fundraiser for a group that Monica works with called Youth Speak, which helps lower-income kids get into college. Incredible success rate with this group, a social service agency my wife works with. And Jim came to support the event, and very funny. And this is our friend Jim O'Hare, who is currently on...
Parks and Recreation.
He plays Jerry on Parks and Recreation. He's a hoot, and we're always grateful to
He's a Broadway guy, though, isn't he?
But no, no.
No? Strictly television?
Yeah, TV, film.
Broadway.
Doing a lot of stuff, though. But anyway, now to the guests that we have with us here. A living testament to creative thinking and good taste. His career not only exists on theater stages, having directed such star vehicles as Always Patsy Cline with Sally Struthers and Carter Calvert, MAME with Carol Lawrence, our first guest on the show, by the way.
Yes, indeed.
And Fruit Fly and My Life Without Makeup, both starring Leslie Jordan, another guest we had on the show, hysterical gentleman. But also on nightclub stages with the likes of Tyne Daly, Rita Moreno, Ron McEwen in concert. We're only touching a fragment of his career. As we mentioned earlier, this Saturday, August 16th at 8 p.m. at Hollywood's Ford Theater, he is directing, producing, presenting Chris Isaacson's Broadway Under the Stars, hosted by, you gotta help me with this name, Michael. I know why you threw me this. Oba Babatunde?
Oba
Babatunde, with a star-studded cast featuring Dreamgirls Tony Award winner Jennifer Holliday, Eric Bergen from both Jersey Boys on stage and the film, Rogelio. That can't be spelled right. Rogelio Douglas Jr. from In the Heights, Danny Gerwin from Broadway's Little Women, and, of course, our guest, Chad Kimball, with musical direction by the always amazing Gerald Sternbach. Let's talk to the man himself, the man, the legend, David Galligan.
Yay.
Well, David, we're out of time.
Okay,
I'm sorry, but we appreciate you coming in.
That's only this to say, oh, nurse. My Life Without Makeup, just to correct you, is not Leslie Jordan. That's a one-woman show for Rita Moreno.
Okay. I wedged the two together.
Yes. And I'm not producing on Saturday Night. Direction is enough.
I'll have to talk to our scriptwriter on that one.
Producer, presenter Chris Isaacson.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Going to read
that's great.
That
Good gift for you would be a comma. Maybe we can throw a comma in there.
It's perfectly written. You're both
this is why we can't have nice things.
Don't start with me.
Anyway, David, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
So just a synopsis-y, if you could. Can you tell guests what they can expect? What's going on this
Yeah, I mean, 16th? It's the four gentlemen, you know, are putting their best foot forward. The one sitting next to me is most famous for being Tony nominated for Memphis, so he's doing two songs for Memphis.
Okay.
He's also played the front part of A Cow in Into the Woods, so he's... Right. Doing something from Into the Woods.
Didn't you do something like that yourself?
So if you would be the front part of A Cow.
Yeah. Yeah.
A nurse, no.
I thought you were just saying that in the green room, no?
No.
So if you were the front part of The Cow.
He was the front part of The
who
Cow.
Who was the latter part of The Cow?
Yeah.
I'm still trying to figure that out with my therapist. But I actually was a whole cow.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, you were the milky white cow.
Yes.
You got the whole cow. Okay.
But this is not about me.
Okay.
Thank you, Chad.
But I thought there was a Borscht Belt joke in there somewhere. I don't know what it was.
I thought it was really funny.
Yeah, what was it?
He did too. That would make him the first. He played the cow, Milky Way, which would make him the first Jersey boy.
Okay. I got my finger on this rim shot.
You've been waiting for that.
Waiting for it.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you, fellow Cancerian.
I've heard all of them, and I hadn't heard that one.
Now you What's have, Chad.
All of the utter jokes.
Oh,
you know,
the utterly fabulous.
Yes,
and
yes.
Yeah. Well, let's start.
I didn't even think of that. That's really good.
You're having a field day. So, David, yes. So,
yes. So it's the four men putting their best foot forward.
Yes.
Oba Babatunde, who is Tony nominated
so
for Dream
cool.
Girls,
so cool.
Is the host.
Yeah.
Jennifer Holliday is the leading lady star.
Mm-hmm.
And Janet DeKal is a guest star, and she's from the original In the Heights.
Okay.
And she's doing a couple of duets.
Oh,
there's, you know, Lee Martino is choreographing. So
wonderful, lovely.
Oh, yes. There's two big dance numbers.
Yeah.
And
that everyone does, or some? Or dancers.
Chad doesn't know, but he's featured heavily.
And this really is fun for the audience. It's going to be fun for the audience to see me stumbling all over the place. I just heard this for the first time. Janet DeKal is in the show. She's one of my favorite people in the world.
Janet DeKal or Janet the Cow?
Not the cow, not at all.
We have a bovine theme going on today. Yeah.
We did good vibrations together. That's what I'll say.
You're not speaking in euphemisms there?
Oh, well. Jeez, guys. I love you, Janet.
So, David, something like this, when you have so many people from who are, like Chad, so busy, so much going on, different. Chad, you're from New York. You're not from here.
Yes.
Or you live in New York, rather. I don't know where you're from originally. We'll get to that.
I'm from Seattle.
We chat with you. That's it. Ruin the ending, Michael. I'm sorry. But when you have that, people from all over, what is, for something like this, a one-nighter, what's the rehearsal process like? How long is it? How much time do you have?
Never enough time. The good part is they've all done these songs before. Mm.
Okay.
The bad part is I've not done them with them.
Okay. I thought you were going to say the bad part is they've done these songs before.
Nurse. There's just never enough rehearsal time.
Right,
you know?
Right.
You know, he just got in and, you know, somebody's arriving on Friday and Jennifer Holliday's arriving on Friday and then you go out in the beating sun on Saturday and hope that it comes together. I mean, wow. It's all ready, but...
Right.
I'm hardly optimistic. there must be a pony.
Now I'm getting nervous.
This is a
simple concert that David's doing. So, I mean, you know, the stage benefits, which we referred to in his introduction, those are, like, huge, and they are so beautifully done. And you don't have a lot of rehearsal with that either.
No. You know, when somebody asks me, I go... You know, I hope it'll come together because if they sit there with their arms folded, and go, I thought he said this was really good, and you know, it's that kind of thing. So, yeah, come see it.
No doubt. I'm very excited to see it.
Good.
I'll be.
Are
there.
You coming, Paul?
I am not.
Thank you so much.
I would like to, but I don't. I don't support theater in Los Angeles.
Yes, there's a lot of you out there.
I got better. No, actually, my niece
here we
is in
go.
Town.
The old niece story.
Look, just hold up the card so I can read it. Okay.
Okay.
My niece has going off topic for a second. When one of our nieces and nephews turns 13, get a trip to Los Angeles on my wife Monica and I. We have 21 nieces and nephews that we have to do this for.
And you couldn't take them to the show?
Well, it's Yasmin. It's a girl.
Okay, you can take her to
no,
the
no.
show.
No, we've made plans already. I'm so sorry. I didn't consult you.
What are your plans?
What's that? We're going to Manhattan Beach.
He's sweating.
What? There's a bar called Tattoos Against Your Will. It's a place we love to go to. Yeah, sure. She'll love it.
Poor Jasmine.
I didn't know you had another one in town. You just had one.
We have four this year. It was 13 years ago.
Well, the
was
other
a procreating
one, you did, the other one he
year
did
for my family.
And none of them were going to the theater. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, the last
no,
one
no,
did.
The last one did. But that was, of course, the show she wanted to see. Anyway.
Oh, nurse.
Wow. No, she wants this. She's not a beach. She wants to go to the beach. And they call the shots. We don't decide what they want to do. That's part of the trip. We only have one rule, and that's no theme parks. But we've taken them to...
Why is that?
Because we don't want to do something. We want to do something that is distinctly Los Angeles for them. We don't want to take them to a theme park they could go to in Chicago or New York. And, you know, it's just we want to be
can't
outside.
Go to Disneyland in Chicago or New York.
I'm not going
to 21 theme parks. That's what it boils
have
down
to. Kind
to.
Of put you, a,
do me a favor and pass the no dose over here. Thank you.
You're the one who was grilling me.
Well, I know, but I didn't think we were going to do 5 minutes on it. We're trying to talk about my show, our show.
Okay, so back to the show. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, it's too late. Go. I have to go home and shave again.
I hope you brought a box lunch, Dave.
I did. Did you?
But Michael mentioned the stage events. Are there any of those on the dance card coming up?
Or 31.
What?
31. Year 31.
You're in your 31st year?
Yep.
And when is that? When's the next one happening?
Sometime in the spring, and I've done all of them. Mm. Look at these crow's feet. You can't see these on the air, but there are a lot of them.
We can post them on our website.
Thank you so much. Next to a picture of Jasmine.
That old joke that Wayland Flowers used to say with Madam. Madam would say, or the other puppet, I guess.
Oh,
Madam
yes.
Would say,
Jiffy? I don't know.
Yeah, I think so. She, you know, what are those lines? Or Madam would say to her, what are those lines around your, what, you know, those lines around your eyes? And she said, those are crow's lines.
Did she do it like this, Michael? Would you like me to give it a shot?
Here, I'm going to say
because we only have an hour. Okay. So I don't know if
the crow's feet. What are those crow's feet around your eyes? And she says, no, those are laugh lines. And the madam says, nothing could be that funny.
And nothing was. But anyway.
Oh, nurse.
Yeah, I can't. I'm not a joke teller.
No, you are, Michael. You are. It's just David's throwing you. You know, David's, I think he's just, he's still angry with me about the whole Yasmin
thing. He is. Well, you are the cause of the problem.
I know. Yeah. I caused it all. Yeah.
Back to me.
Yes,
back to you. Sure.
Leslie Jordan, you made him a star here
in theater stage.
He was a star. No. I'm talking about you made him a theater star, right? Here in
Los
Angeles.
Well, I've done like four shows with him. Yes.
Oh, you might did one.
What are
with
the
you?
Other ones? One, there's one with
Like a Dog on Linoleum.
Which
Linoleum,
I did. That was the one, yeah. With them. Yeah.
My Trip Down the Pink Carpet, Fruit Fly, and some Christmas show that was a flop. I can't remember the name of it.
And one of them, I saw one of them is available on Netflix. Is it Linoleum or
Carpet? No, it's Pink Carpet.
Pink Carpet, okay. He's a very, very funny man.
He is hilarious. Yeah.
A friend of mine worked with him on some project. I don't know what it was, but he was talking about jumping into being, or maybe he mentions it in a show, too. I don't know if it's from a show or someone said, but jumping into a dead horse. It was a dead horse.
Sure, it wasn't a dead cow.
His friend, no, it was a dead horse. And they said that it had been all bloated or something, and his friends told him that you have to, you'll bounce right off it if you go jump on this dead horse. And he jumped on the dead horse, and he went right inside.
Oh, that's disgusting.
Isn't that a horrible story?
He grew up in the South.
You like
right?
the way I just sort of bring
yeah.
it down?
Very colorful.
Yes. That was an actual story. It was true about the whore. I thought you were going somewhere, but
no,
it's
actually
sad, true. And I'm upset.
It's going to Manhattan Beach.
Yeah. Jump right in, Chad, because you're not going to get a lot of time.
That's what I'm here for.
So, David.
Oh, no.
David.
Yes, Michael, go ahead.
When you are not doing theater, you're doing these wonderful nightclub acts for people like Tyne Daly, as you said, and Rita Moreno, which I can only imagine is a whole different process, certainly, as a director, because, you know, a lot of people do these kinds of acts, and they do them quickly, and they do them with music that they want to do themselves, and they don't really kind of dig into what I think you do with these people. I think you dig down into
most
their
of the
soul.
But most of the artists feel that they, with a nightclub act, they don't need a director, so really? Bye-bye.
Yeah. But what you've done, for example, explain, like Rita's, the title of her show, My Life with
That's
makeup.
A one-person show. That wasn't a nightclub act, but that's one-person show.
Yeah. That's, so, but I mean, it's about her life.
Right, and only her life. Right. I mean, it's 2 hours of Rita Moreno.
Oh, it's that? I didn't realize it was that long.
Yeah.
So what about Tyne Daly, when you did Tyne? Because that got such great reviews in New York.
Yeah. She's a consummate actress, and she does. The thing is to try and do the patter is the problem, because she doesn't like talking about herself. I mean, she'd rather do poetry and everything, and that's fine, too. I mean, because the thing about Tyne is you don't give her a lot of notes because she's right there. Mm-hmm. I mean, she rewrites lyrics, and so she rewrote Sondheim's lyrics for some people. And we were at Feinstein's, and I got, just the Friday before we were going to close, I got a telegram from Sondheim's lawyer. And I opened it up, and it said, cease and desist. You didn't ask permission, because the New York Times had raved about this act. And mentioned that she had rewritten some people. And I thought, well, we're closing Sunday.
So you will cease.
So I'll tell Tyne on Sunday. So I just folded it up nicely and handed it to her on Sunday. And I said, so, and she opened it up and she went, oh. But she took it and crumpled it up and threw it into a wastebasket.
Yes. Forgiveness, not permission. Yeah. Forgiveness, not permission.
She's such a dynamic presence on the stage, you know.
And in person, too.
Yes.
I mean, it's like, I just want to sit at her feet a lot of the time, which isn't a great thing for a director. I mean, you're supposed to be in a kind of a controlling position. But if you collaborate with the artist, you know.
Let me ask you an interesting question. I think it's interesting. Do you learn from someone like that yourself?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah? I mean, she makes poetry palatable for me. I've never been a fan of poetry. This woman's just amazing to me. I mean, I worship her. That's not good for a director to say either.
You know, David doesn't know what he's about to learn from me.
Oh, really?
I hope you get a chance to tell me.
Actually, he's coming with us to Manhattan Beach.
Jasmine.
It's Jasmine will learn.
I see something here, David, that I want to ask you about, because I love the title, and I'm curious about what Blame It on the Movies.
Yes.
You co-created and directed that. What's that about?
Yeah, Blame It on the Movies I was always interested in. I was a journalist to begin with, and then I traded that in for direction. And I'd always been curious about the review form, like the Billy Barnes review or New Faces of 52 or those reviews. So Frank Levy, who was alive then, obviously, came to me and he wanted a review about the movies. And so I put together this review. And it's run all over the world. It's done all over the place.
Now, in assembling something like that, do you start with narrative, or do you start with a sequence of songs and then thread your narrative later?
Well, it put into workshop, and it was just before the holidays, and we shut down, and there were 92 songs in it.
Oh, wow.
And so, and that was the through line. I was an usherette, and Billy Barnes wrote the special material, so it was divided into sections. So then we came back, and Disney had said we couldn't use their stuff. So that went out,
right.
And everything had to be restaged and re-choreographed and all of that stuff.
Oh, you mean you just had 92 while you were hobbling it together,
yes.
And then you were going to distill it down.
And then finally, you know, we opened, and they said, you can't have a set because we can't afford it. So, you know,
and Sondheim was picketing out front, wasn't he?
So we opened and we ran a year there, and then it went to Burt Reynolds and
in Jupiter. Yeah.
And then we went from there to off-Broadway in New York and picked up a New York producer and closed in, I think, a week because the sprinkler system went off. Somebody had a match to it.
Really?
And destroyed the set and the costumes.
Oh, my Lord. Really?
What? Really?
I have my suspicions, but...
Wow. Wow. That's
so nice. That was the end of the New York trip, but it's done all over.
Wow. No, that was... That's... I can't go there, but I just... That astonishes me. That, that's unusual.
Well...
The heartbreak of theater.
Yeah. But it still gets done.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing, right?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Michael, do you have the information?
I was just going to say that.
So we can let our listeners know how to attend.
Absolutely.
We'll throw that information out.
Of course, we're talking with David Galligan, who is directing Broadway Under the Stars, which we said earlier. It will be this Saturday, August 16th at 8 p.m. And tickets are very, very affordable, and as low as $40. Beautiful theater. If you've never been to the John Anson Ford Theater, make it a point of trying to go this weekend, because it is out there nestled, as we said, in the Hollywood Hills, beautifully so. You know, the sky above, everything is lush green trees behind the stage. It's just a gorgeous setting. And, you know, with some great entertainers, Jennifer Holliday, our guest Chad Kimball, Eric Bergen from the motion picture Jersey Boys and the stage production, and others. So very simple to get tickets. You simply go to visit fordtheaters.org or call 323-461-3873.
I don't think it's not I don't think visit is in the URL. It's just fordtheaters.org. Because you said go to visitfordtheaters.org.
Go to visit.
Oh, okay. No, but no, you paused. You said go to.
It's a dramatic pause.
You said go to visitfordtheaters.org, and I'm just trying to sell
you
tickets
know,
here, Paizan.
Okay.
And you go, okay. 323-461-3673. And I'll repeat this.
They got out on that.
And I'll repeat this information correctly again.
Yeah, be sure and tell your
the hour.
Excuse me.
Let's do the arts calendar, shall
boy,
we, Michael?
Oh boy, yes.
Okay.
Yes, you will.
I will kick it off. The multiple Tony Award-winning musical adaptation of Spring Awakening is set to receive an innovative, immersive production performed simultaneously in American Sign Language and Spoken English. Presented by Deaf West Theater in association with the Forest of Arden, Spring Awakening opens September 13th at Inner City Arts in downtown Los Angeles. Based on Frank Wedekind's controversial 1891 expressionist play of the same name and featuring a rock-pop score, Spring Awakening follows the lives of a group of adolescents as they navigate their entry into sexual awareness. The production features a cast of 25 deaf, hard of hearing, and hearing actors and musicians. So says the show's director, actor Michael Arden, who portrays Patrick on the FX series Anger Management. The mix of sign language and choreography performed by this amazing young cast brings the songs of Steven Sater and Duncan Sheik to life in a completely new way. It's Arden's hope that this reimagining will kindle a new connection between the hearing and deaf communities. Spring Awakening runs September 13th through October 19th with performances on Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays at 8, Sundays at 3. 5 preview performances take place Sunday, September 7th at 3 and Tuesday, September 9th. Through Friday, September 12th, all at 8 p.m. Performances take place in the Rosenthal Theater at Inner City Arts, 720 Kohler Street in downtown Los Angeles. And for those of you who would like the abridged version of this, I can send it to you in a leather-bound volume just south of the Arts District. For reservations and information, call 818-762-2998 or go to, and this is the URL I'm going to give you now, deafwest.org, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much. Jeez, man, yeah. That's a marathon.
All for you.
Thank you so much, Michael.
You're
I appreciate
very
it.
Very welcome.
All right.
There'll be more.
Couldn't split it up, maybe? Pounce in there for me?
Oh, no, not
Would
today.
Would you introduce this very patient gentleman
will.
To my right here?
Our next guest, ladies and gentlemen, hails from Seattle, Washington, and is a grad...
Sorry, it's all I got for Seattle.
And as a graduate of the Boston Conservatory, his first theater experience in New York was on Broadway in the musical The Civil War. Mm. He was also seen in the off-Broadway revival of Godspell and the Broadway revival of Stephen Sondheim's Into the Woods. Mm-hmm. He appeared in the Broadway musicals Lennon and Good Vibrations and originated the lead role in the musical Memphis at the La Jolla Playhouse in 2008 and starred in the role in the Broadway production until fall of 2011. He has appeared in regional theater as Anthony in Sweeney Todd at Virginia's Signature Theater and Baby at New Jersey's Paper Mill Playhouse. But luckily for us, this weekend he takes the stage at the John Anson Ford Theater right here in Hollywood, Saturday, August 16th. Give it up for the uber-talented Chad Kimball.
Thank you. Thank you.
Mr. Kimball.
Chad, how are you?
Uber talented. I like that.
You're all techie. You're all
sociopathic.
Social media. You were tweeting. You were texting. You were
I was making sure that, you know, actually I was just trying to get it right because I actually don't know how to, you know, adhere the Facebook thingies to the tweety tweeters. And but I think I did an okay job. If you're out there and you're listening and you're on social media,
then it worked.
Maybe you can tell me if I did an okay job. But thank you. I appreciate that. In this day and age, to be told that you're a sociopath.
We have a new term.
Is actually makes me feel good, and my self-esteem is going on. It's on the rise. Let's see what else we can muster up. Let's go to Good Vibrations.
So Broadway Under the Stars, you excited?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And what are the songs you're doing?
I'm doing a number of songs, two from Memphis, Music of My Soul, and Memphis Lives in Me, and which has become kind of a anthemic big old 11 o'clock number that a lot of people are seeming to sing, and it's fun to have my stamp on it. But what else am I singing?
You're doing the one
Giants
from
Diamonds.
In the
Sky. Oh, yes. What You'd Call a Dream from a little-known show called Diamonds, and it's by Craig Cornelia.
Mm. And it's absolutely
fantastic. Is that the Legs Diamond show?
His work.
No.
No?
Oh.
Oh, no. No, I don't think so. No, please chime okay. in because yeah, I don't
know. What did you say
no,
called The Late Diamond?
I thought there was a show about
There is. The Peter yeah. Allen show.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, this, no, this is about baseball.
Oh, yeah. Okay, okay.
I love baseball. Yeah. I'm a Mariners fan.
Are you?
Yes. Ah. Are you? You guys are L.A. Dodgers.
No, Cubs fan.
Yeah. Cubs? Yeah. Okay, mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
Which is just like, I know, which is why I'm the eternal optimist. Yes.
That's good. It's good. It takes a bad baseball team to make you an optimist. I understand.
My brother's a huge baseball fan, but I just...
And Jasmine as well.
Yes. Yes.
It's yeah. Yasmin.
Well,
isn't it?
Anything but going to the theater. World United.
Yes, so I'm singing a number of songs. I'm thrilled to be doing the show with. I've never worked with Jennifer Holliday. In fact, I've never worked with any of these guys.
You
oh no, Danny Gerwin. I can't remember what we did together, but we did. I think it was a reading or something. We did a show together. Excuse me.
Nerds.
We did a recording together. That's what we did. And you know, in New York, you get to meet all these people and get to know them really fast and furious, and you kind of lay your
Romantic,
lives on the line,
yeah.
And you bare your soul, and then. And then you don't see each other for years and years and years, but there's something special there. So I'm really excited to be doing this.
How long did you do Memphis? You were Tony nominated for Memphis.
Yes.
And how long did you do the show?
We started actually in, it was a long process. We started in 2003 at North Shore Music Theater.
And, so you were with it from its incarnation.
Yeah, I was with it. They had done a small reading, I think, before that. I like to say that I was the first guy. I was the first guy to play Huey, definitely up in North Shore. And so it was a 6 to 7 year process before we got to...
Wow.
You like how I'm using those numbers? Just like, it was either one. It was like 6 or 7 years. I don't know. I don't do math very well. let's say seven. So we went to North Shore Music Theater and we did it there. And everybody just kind of thought, you know... I remember the first break we took from the table read, and David Bryan of Bon Jovi, who wrote the score, was singing all the songs while we read the script, you know, through. And we took our first break, and I think all of us jumped on the phone with our agents and said, you know, I got to be a part of this. And we all thought, you know, we're young and thought, well, it's going to happen next month.
Yeah.
But the fact that it took so long to get to Broadway, I think was we were better off for it. I think any show that can you know, really...
And did it... was there a palatable distillation of what happened? I mean, did it change tremendously, or was it just tweaked and modified a little? Because, you know, that journey can be different for different shows.
No, there were major modifications.
Yeah.
If you know the show, you'll know that that Felicia, the woman that Huey, my character, falls in love with, the black singer... R&B singer, she initially was her brother in the show as it is now was Del Rey, and it used to be that they were, you know, lovers, and I mean just different things. Huey died at one point in an early incarnation,
which makes for a slow act.
Yeah, it's a really slow act too. Like, where did that guy go? No, at the very end of the play, we had a big dream sequence at one point, and so a lot of it changed. We dumped about 10 songs from the score, I think it was just a testament to what the actual show was in the beginning, because it never changed. The heart of it never changed.
Right.
You know, just the things on the periphery, but the heart and soul of the show remained the same, I think, throughout.
That always fascinates me. That always fascinates me. How much of that is a product of just the creative entity behind it? How much of it is just by judging reaction and where the rhythm of it goes when you have an audience there? It's just like. Editing, you know, they asked Kurosawa once. They said, "Why do you make movies?" And he said, "So I have something to edit."
Yes,
and that was the thing. That process of it is just so fascinating to me.
The process is the most important part. I mean, if I could work, if I could do a you know, multi-year process with any show, that would be the best, because you're getting people coming back to the show, actors. Whom are they're experiencing life? They're bringing them back to their work that they had done previously, and it's becoming different. And it's just I think it's the best situation.
You know, I don't think you know this, Michael, but I was actually supposed to do this production of Memphis.
Oh, you were?
I was. Yes,
really?
But I had a personal conflict.
What was that?
I can't sing or dance. Oh, look at the time. Oh, sorry. Anyway,
sorry.
What do you want from me?
What do you want from me?
So your journey to from that. stage to the Broadway stage was a long journey.
Yeah, it was quite a long journey. And the thing is, I did two shows in between there. I did Good Vibrations, and then I left Good Vibrations to do Lennon, the musical. And then we closed Lennon, and I moved out here to L.A. I was out here for 3 years. I actually own a clothing company with my brother, and we started it here, but I was the guy here, and he was up in Seattle. So I did that for 3 years. But on my mind was, you know, well, I'm just going to wait until Memphis happens. Memphis is going to happen, and then this, and then this. And it was all contingent on Memphis happening. And in hindsight, you know, when you're working on a project that is so incredibly close to your soul, you know, it's good to often step back and say, okay, well, you know what? It might not happen. I knew in my heart that it would happen, and it did, and it happened the way I just knew it would. I mean, when I first spoke these words as Huey Calhoun, there was just no difference between me and him. And I'm not a method actor. It just kind of spilled out of me. And so that kind of magic just continued for the years I was involved in the project and not involved, you know, walking away for a little while and then coming back to it. And it just never got old, you know.
So when you actually got to the point where you're on Broadway opening, it must have been an amazing experience on that opening night.
It was
feeling.
It was a thrill.
Let alone to be followed by, you know, being recognized by your peers for a Tony nomination.
Yeah, that was a huge blessing. I mean, the great part about Memphis is the producers had the keen understanding that the people that they had involved in the process over a long time were just so integral to the product, the final product. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in an age of, you know, bringing in a bunch of stars from LA or whatever, very capable people and very talented people, they decided to go with us, with the people who had kind of shepherded along with the, the creatives and everything to get to that point. And they stuck with us. And so it was kind of a
familial,
familial, and a kind of an underdog story as well. And listen, America loves a little underdog story, you know.
Yeah, and also, I don't want to say anything against anyone who, you know, performers are performers. Everyone works hard, but when you have a cast like that versus a cast that is peppered and salted by the one who just won this singing competition and the one who just won this singing competition that don't necessarily have the chops but can, you know, hold a note for 16 days.
Sure.
You know, there's a heart there that doesn't exist in the more, you know.
They decided to keep that heart intact. It was in an age when, you know, a lot of producers are not doing that and just kind of hoping for the best, I'd say.
And they have to think of the marketplace, too. So you can't,
absolutely,
you know, I don't want
to skip.
You
got to sell it.
You got to sell it.
But this happened to actually sell tickets.
Sell tickets
people
anywhere.
People were just kind of mesmerized by that old school theatrical magic.
Yeah, I loved it. I did you see it, Paul, here?
I did not, but you know, I don't go to theater.
Surprise.
I forgot. Talk about this. I did, but Yasmin told her brother was in town. And we went to Schenectady.
Really?
I don't know. I'm tired.
You are. Boy, are you.
Okay. But not too tired to not put this information out there again. We're talking about Broadway Under the Stars. That is, and for tickets, you go to fordtheaters.org, and theaters has the R-E spelling, fordtheaters.org, or call 323-461-3673. This is a one-nighter. It's this weekend, the 16th. 323-461-3673. And, of course, the John Ansett Ford Amphitheater is 2580 Cahuenga Boulevard East in Hollywood.
Cahuenga,
yes.
Yeah.
I said it that way. The first.
Do you know that the Cahuenga Pass,
where
that's located, which is where the Hollywood Freeway is,
yes,
the Hollywood South 101, was actually the dividing line between Mexico and California?
I did not know that.
Big Battle of the Cahuenga Pass. That's what happened.
That's why the freeway is there.
That's right.
Really?
Yeah. You stay on your side.
Yeah.
It's a very aggressive freeway.
Yeah. Cahuenga, I said it that way. When I first got here, I didn't know how to pronounce it. I called, I called Sepulveda Sepulveda for like 6 months before someone corrected me.
That's a cheese.
What'd you call La Cienega?
What? You know what La Cienega means? Or someone told
swamp.
Me this.
Swamp.
Yes, the swamp.
Yeah.
But the
it
best
does?
One is the La Brea Tartar Pits.
Tartar.
Because if you translate La Brea Tar Pits, it's the Tartar Pits. Because La Brea just means the tar. So, useless shit stuck in my head. I can't remember my own phone number, but
the
I know
the
Tartar Pits.
You, mister, you are on a roll today, aren't you?
No, I'm just drunk.
Chad, let's get back to Chad here. What is coming up for you?
This concert.
Engagement,
okay. Besides
next?
This, you know, I've taken an amazing break from Memphis. It was a lot of work.
Yeah.
You know,
you also experienced something happened to you during the
I was injured. Run, right? I was injured on my. I have some nerve damage in my shoulder, and that's been it was debilitating. When you want to hold your own and do this show, this baby that you've got, you know, that's what it felt like, a child, you know, that I couldn't leave, and finally I just was in too much pain. I had to go. So now I've taken some time, and I took the summer. I like to say that I'm on sabbatical from hiatus.
Do you still have the clothing company?
I do.
What is that? That was a fascinating thing you dropped in.
No,
oh,
no,
by
I,
the way,
yeah,
I
have ADD, so I kind of go off in little directions. But
I don't know what that's like.
Yeah, all right. Where's that rim shot? My brother and I decided, very much entrepreneurs, and we decided in 2006 that we'd start a clothing company. And looking back, I mean,
are these some of the
No, clothes? I'm not wearing. We make women's wear right now.
Oh,
but when we started, it was these cheap shirts that said, you know, different things, you know, and we had no idea
different things
what
like
we were
what?
Doing. Different. Well, it was called Obvious Clothing or O Gear. And so all of the shirts said what they were, like blue shirt said blue shirt, white ink.
That's your company.
Or whatever. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've actually
You have. Yes. That's fantastic. We haven't done that in years. And anyway, it's kind of morphed once we got to know the fashion business. I mean, how much can you know the fashion industry?
I thought you were going to say it was ADD Clothing Company, which the tagline would be, clothing for women. Hey, look, a pony.
That's not a bad idea. I'll take you through the steps. Maybe we get something started. But it slowly morphed into, once we found out more about the industry and everything and kind of faked it till we maked it, it's become a thing of its own. We now are in over 600 boutiques nationwide.
Wow,
we've got a creative director. We've got our designer. We've got a bunch of great and awesome employees here in Los Angeles.
Is there a URL you can give our listeners?
Yeah, Lolly. It was called Obvious Clothing. We changed it to Lolly Clothing. That's www.lolly-clothing.com. Lolly-clothing.com.
Dash, not an underscore.
Dash, okay. Not an underscore. And so now it's high-priced women's wear, and it's amazing stuff. It's really great stuff.
Do you drop in at the store? And
I drop in everywhere every now and then. You know, I'm not too involved on the ground floor anymore. I like to focus on the acting and singing and never the dancing. it's
until Saturday
now.
Night.
Yeah, but it's growing exponentially, the company, and if you have a chance, check it out.
Oh, that's wonderful. It's unusual because people don't it's just an odd thing to be dropped in, and I perform.
Was it your brother's idea?
He called me from his pickup truck on the 5 in Seattle, and said, "Hey, we should start making."
He wasn't
t-shirts.
Wearing women's clothes at the time.
No. The funny thing is, neither of us are from fashion at all. I mean, at all. We just thought it'd be cool to sell t-shirts. And so, I mean, I think back, I think, you know, how stupid was it to, like, not only be in acting, but I choose the other really fun industry, the fashion industry. I mean, what's next, the restaurant?
Well, that's what, you know, that's what Robert Evans, a lot of people don't know that, Hollywood producer Robert Evans. Is he Evan of Evan Picone? It's the same.
I did not know that.
And he made all of his money in clothing before he ever became a producer and handed the fashion business over to his brother.
But he
was an actor first, yeah. But with the acting money initially, that's how they started Evan Pacon. And then he went.
You got to spread things out. Yeah. I mean, if you're focused merely on acting, I think this is for me anyway.
That's why I also, in addition to this, I sing the national anthem at cockfights. So.
I spread
my wings.
Yes, you do.
We're at that time,
you
Michael. Shall
are
we?
Something like
that, and I scalp low numbers at the deli counter. That's the other thing I do. I got a lot of things on my plate.
Why aren't you hitting the button for yourself?
Because even I'm tired of me right now, Michael. It's that time.
It is. We have to baptize our guests.
Yes.
So. It's come to that time, gentlemen. So who's going
to
go first?
We have to ask you to share a story from your performance life, something you were part of that was embarrassing or went south or something that went wrong during performance that you could share. Not necessarily the show.
Should we go in alphabetical order?
Well, David,
let's start with David.
David, you look like you want to talk.
David's got that sort of...
No, I'm thinking. I'm just trying to edit this story.
You want some time?
No, I'll do it.
Let Chad
go. I'll do it. Okay, I was working with this Broadway legend for... the sixth or seventh time, and
we're not naming names.
Oh, you can, but you'll get a sort of I do a bad imitation.
Okay.
At any rate, I put the choreographer with her on Friday night because she's so frail that I said she's got to be shadowed because I'm afraid she'll fall over. So that worked out fine, and she said, thank you very much.
Oh,
Lord.
And so on Saturday, she asked me for an early, and the curtain was at 7:30, and the house opens at 7. She asked for a meeting with me at 6. I said, okay. I brought in the musical director, and she said, I don't want to do those choreography. I said, well, the choreographer's not here. There are 10 dancers with you. I don't want to do that. I said, no, you do it. She didn't want to do it. So I said, okay, what do you want to do? She said, I want to do this and this and this. And I said, okay, I'll take care of it. I'm not a choreographer. So then she said this was the Louis Armstrong version of Hello, Dolly. And I said, no, it's not. I got it from your people. And she said, no, you didn't. And the husband sitting there with somebody saying, yes, that's the Louis Armstrong, that's Carol.
Oh my God! Is Carol Channing?
Really? Thank you so much.
I was like, Harvey Fierstein sounds like a dick.
I'd pay money to see Harvey Fierstein do a Hulu with Dolly. So at any rate, the fight ensued, and I kept saying no, no, and double no. And I mean, I was not nice, not at all. But I mean, it was late. So then, the embarrassing part of this is, I mean, this was a conversation I thought I was having with her, but the PA system was on. So when I went downstairs to say good luck and have a wonderful show to everybody, they all went, you're so mean.
Oh, wow.
Because I had taken the legend and said, no, 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 and double no. That's my embarrassing story.
What, her body mic picked it up?
No, it was the PA. And it was on all the dressing rooms, and it was everywhere. And she's still the meanest lady ever.
She was our second guest on this program. And we had her on, and we learned a quick lesson. Don't have anyone on your show who, A, has difficulty hearing and is speaking to you on a speakerphone. Because we were on with her for 5 minutes, and 5 minutes in the interview, she goes, oh, so when are we going to be on the radio? It's like, you've been on for 5 minutes with Chad.
Hello!
What do you got, Chad?
Oh, goodness. I mean, there's so many little stories that you walk off the stage with, you know, your tail between your legs. But one was, I was doing Sweeney Todd at the Signature Theater in Arlington, Virginia, and I was playing Antony. And this is coming back to Sondheim. We're coming back to Sondheim, by the way. And I just want to say hi, Steve. Ben, I never got to call him Steve.
My first name.
No, never.
Oh, you're just calling him that today?
I would like to be able to call him Steve. So if he's listening, can you reach out?
Which he probably is.
Well, can you accept my
friend
request?
Well, I didn't want to say this, but we've got him right here.
Oh, my God, Steven. So you call him
Steven.
There he is.
Yeah.
Steve. Anyway, but people I know who know him call him Steve, and I want that. Anyway, okay, so I was doing Sweeney Todd with Norm Lewis as Sweeney, and the orchestra was behind us, and It was like an 18-piece orchestra. It was like nothing to laugh at. And but they were behind us,
not
on top
Norm
of
Lewis,
the stage.
Not Norm Lewis, the comedian.
No, Norm Lewis, the Tony-nominated
yes, okay.
actor.
That's what
yes.
I thought.
And, so I was finishing up Joanna, you know, and it goes, I feel you, Joanna, I feel you. And I had talked to the conductor, and he said, listen, because we'd added a vamp. Because we had, Steve had allowed us to add some dialogue in there, and so he said, "Listen, if we get off, just I will follow you," which is kind of the dumbest thing. I mean, I should have followed them. It's an 18 pieces, you know, versus one person.
Right.
So I was actually about literally four measures off from, and you can't make stuff up in Sondheim songs. I mean, there's just no...
Well, Tyne Daly did. Yeah.
Well, she did, but she did it like
she
probably...
She wrote it.
Yeah, exactly. She had time to do
yeah,
it. It wasn't in front
planning,
of people.
Yeah.
And so anyway, so I ended up singing the entire last part of the song alone on stage. Nobody clapped. But the timpani went boom, 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 and there was a flute. And then my castmate backstage started to clap furiously, but I had to throw the birdcage because there's a birdcage.
Yes.
So I threw the birdcage completely in the clear and walked off. And Eric Schaefer, the artistic director there, said, "So the New York Times was here, and Stephen Sondheim was here." And I said, "No." And he said, "Luckily, it was a joke. They weren't there." But
that's brutal. Yeah. That's brutal. Oh, man. I should love people to do that. Kick them when they're down.
Well, Steve, you've got to hear that story if he hasn't heard it today.
I hope he has.
I hope he just calls me
and tells me, "You can call me Steve." I don't even know what his voice sounds like. I think he was afraid of me as a cow.
Thank you, gentlemen. Pleasure having both of you on. Michael, would you do the honors and just throw that information out there one more time?
Do you trust me to do it?
I do.
I do.
Yes.
Ford Theater in the Hollywood Hills, Broadway Under the Stars, this Saturday, August 16th, 8 p.m. Go to fordtheater.org or simply call 323-769-2147 for tickets. You will be glad that you did, because you'll see Chad Kimball, you'll see Jennifer Holliday, Eric Bergen, Danny Gerwin, Oba Babatunde, and so many more, right?
Benson.
Yes, Benson is here with us in the studio today.
And David and Chad, and also Ken Werther, who brings us so many great people. We're grateful to have Ken here as well.
One of the best PR guys in Los Angeles.
Stormy Werther, I just put it out there. It's now on the airways. Oh, he's delighted about that, isn't he? It was an audible eye roll, ladies and gentlemen. Audible eye roll. Pleasure, gentlemen. Thank you.
Thank you, boys. Thank you so much.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk.